This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Our first story of the hour is focusing on to cane or not to cane. Today, that question is being applied specifically to schools as the National Union for the Teaching Profession, or the NUTP, and the Parent Action Group for Education, or PAGE, are finding themselves on opposite sides of the divide.
This conversation is happening in reference to an FMT report on former headmaster V. Chakravarti's tenure in Setapak High School. When he became headmaster in 1981, the school reportedly had lots of disciplinary problems, including gang-related fighting. 8 years later, he had turned it around through instilling a number of measures, including caning.
So one of the alumni of Setapak High, Shanti Bala, recalled that, you know, at her first morning assembly, she was shocked to see boys being caned in front of the whole school, and the punishments were being administered to boys who had been taking part in gang fights after school or bullying younger boys into joining gangs. But she also remembers that after about 6 months, fewer canings were necessary and that boys linked to gangs started doing better in class and scoring higher on tests.
Which leads us to the topic today. Harry Tan, Secretary General of NUTP, has said that it is NUTP's aim that teachers are given the liberty to use everything at their disposal to teach students, including caning if need be. I think that Chakravarti had been able to change the situation in Setapak High and only cane the boys when it was necessary.
So on the other side of that, PAGE Chairman Nur Azimah Rahim has said that PAGE does not advocate public caning, and neither does the Education Ministry, and also that the rights of children need to be upheld. She added that research showed that children who were caned might be psychologically affected, with some turning to violence as adults. So I guess first things first, I don't support public caning. I don't think many people do. But on the subject of discipline, and if we were to look at Harry Tan's statement specifically, he said it's important that teachers are given the liberty to use everything at their disposal to teach students. And I think that there is something very important in that. And one of the important tools that they need to have is discipline, right? It's a necessary, essential part of being able to communicate and teach effectively. And whether or not, and so where that line comes in terms of discipline, I think is the problem.
Yeah, I would agree with that point of view, but I'm not necessarily like in principle would be in agreement of caning as punishment at all, public or private, because, you know, as Datin Azimah said, you do leave long emotional and psychological scars on children, even as they grow into adults and all that. So yeah, I understand the constraints that teachers may have in terms of resources, but ideally, I think what the job is and ultimately what the goal is what's in mind and what is in the best interest of the child.
Yes. So what is that, right? Because perhaps the best interest of the child is in learning effectively, and if disciplinary issues are getting in the way of effective learning, then disciplinary measures need to be taken. And so if we move away from caning, if we move away from any form of physical punishment, which is fine, I think what the problem is, we then find ourselves in the realm of humiliation. So I'm not saying that there aren't proper disciplinary measures out there. I'm not saying that there aren't teachers who are making every effort to speak respectfully, to foster a sense of openness and discourse in the class. But I also think that in many cases, at least in my experience of going to school, even if you were not hit, even if you didn't experience corporal punishment, most of the punishments that I am familiar with from school, from witnessing my friends going through it, from, you know, being given some of it myself, it is all focused on humiliation. So if we're talking about scarring, if we're talking about mental health, then how is that very much better?
I think we have to move away from those sorts of punishments, whether it's physical or not, right? There's a lot of avenues, and I understand that right now perhaps resources are limited, but there's a lot of ways you can teach your child teach a child without having to, you know, give them some amount of, I guess, emotional pain, because you can't just pull them aside and talk to them. And if they're disrupting classes, for example, maybe have them sit out of class for a while, have them think and reflect on their actions, and then bring them back in for a private conversation and speak, you know, what's happening, why are you trying to disrupt class, why are you making so much noise?
Sure. And I think the key problem to that is what you mentioned earlier with resources. You know, if you're working in a class of 40, 50, 60 students, that if even 10% of the students in the class are behaving in a disruptive manner, that might not work. The punishment in and of itself might be disruptive. The acts of discipline, if you take the time required to have, you know, as you point out, a perfectly reasonable conversation, that might take too much time, sadly, in terms of the amount of time allocated you have with the class. But regardless, I mean, I think we're in agreement that teachers need more resources, that teachers need the tools. I think the question we're asking is, where does that line stop? You know, so we want to hear from you in terms of discipline. I mean, what do you think is an acceptable form or an acceptable or effective form of discipline in schools? What would you be comfortable with? What would you like to see? You can call us and let us know, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Later on in the show, we're actually going to be speaking with both people in the debate, actually, Harry Tan of the NUTP, as well as Datin Noorazima from PAGE. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building Fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And today, in light of a recent debate over whether or not public caning should be accepted in schools or caning as a whole, we thought we would open it up and ask you, what do you think is an acceptable form of discipline when it comes to schools? What would you be comfortable with? And what do you think would be effective? You can call us and let us know your thoughts, 7733 2900. WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. On the tweets, Roberto is saying, students' behaviour is a reflection of home education, hence discipline should be restricted only to the home.
Yeah, but I guess then the problem is there also is that a lot of parents, some parents, do leave most of the discipline and also most of the childcare to teachers. And that's an unfortunate real situation that we have to face.
I think it's also the fact that when it comes to childcare, when it comes to discipline, I suppose, if a student is being disruptive in the moment, it's sometimes a little bit difficult to wait for the home situation to resolve or to wait for that disciplinary action to be taken at home, because you need it to be resolved in the moment, there and then. Toh says, spare the rod, spoil the child. And then we've got other messages that have come through, including this from Lynette.
Caning, abuse and humiliation are different things. Education is key. I am who I am today because I was caned when I was young. My folks explained why I was caned.
And I think that's, yes, caning, abuse and humiliation are distinct from one another, but often I think, and this has been a problem, they get mixed up. I think it gets not confused, but they get joined together into kind of one big mess, and therein lies the issue. If you are having those conversations about why it is that you are being punished, I think that does change things.
Yeah, I think the difference there is also sometimes the intent of the punishment. Not that I am for caning, but rather what I mean is that if you cane to teach them a lesson, that's one thing. But if you cane them to teach them a lesson and then humiliate them, that's something else entirely.
Reese is saying treat versus punishment. Animals learn through treats, not punishment, because learning comes in many forms, and kids don't understand as much as we do.
Right. And our next message comes from, I think, comes from Kevin, who says that caning is good. Humans can learn better because we are able to create memories, and we all remember pain, remorse, shame, and sadness better than other feelings. So, well, I would not agree with that necessarily, because I think going back to Reese's message earlier about treating versus punishment on animals, animals and I think humans as well both learn better through proper treatment and I guess proper, the right kinds of discipline. Not so much the pain, not so much the humiliation.
You can keep those messages coming. WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also call 7733 2900. We are, in the meantime, going to be crossing over to Harry Tan, who is the Secretary General of the NUTP, the National Union of the Teaching Profession. Harry, thanks for joining us. Okay, let's start with this. Can you tell us what teachers might be hoping to achieve when they choose to cane students?
First and foremost, as teachers, we are to teach with love and care. We want all our students to do well in life. However, there are a few who do not conform and are a nuisance to their classmates and the schools. They bully, they vandalize, steal, do glue sniffing, and a host of other serious problems. We try our best to counsel these students, but in the end, the only option left will be to cane according to the procedures set by the Ministry of Education. as it is our last option before expulsion, we hope that the students will change for the better.
You've said that teachers should be given the liberty to use anything at their disposal to teach their students. Why is caning included in this?
Now, as a teacher, there are four options for us to correct a student's disciplinary problem. The first will be, of course, the obvious, to advise the students against doing what that is not correct. Then there is also another option of rewarding the students for doing the right things and avoiding the bad. And of course, the third one would be to remove their privileges. For example, if students are recalcitrant, they continue to be obstinate and continue to be a disciplinary nuisance to the school, we can remove their privileges. Like for example, take away their right to the canteen or the right to go out of the class, or maybe not to enjoy certain video clips shown by the teachers. And of course, the last would be punishment. That means such as detention class or in this case, caning. The teachers will always resort to caning as a last option. Now, boys will always be boys. They will always be bullies. They will always fight. And they will always challenge the teacher's authority. So the teachers, they must not only practice love and care, but they must also have some sort of fatherly figure and, of course, authority. The cane is able to give them that option of authority if everything else fails. And we are talking about the cane just before expulsion.
So what is the Education Ministry's current stance when it comes to caning? In what circumstances is it being allowed at the moment?
Okay, caning is only carried out after counselling and also after numerous warnings given out for the repeated offenders. So even after the punishment is meted out, according to the procedures, the students are again sent for counselling. So there is a standard operating procedure for the disciplined teachers to follow. It's not just like taking up the cane and just caning the students blindly. Before the teacher can carry out the process, he or she must send the students for counselling and then must give the students repeated warnings if they commit the same offence again and again. Normally, the minimum will be 3 times. All right? So after they have already given them repeated warnings and the student chose to carry on, then the teachers will carry out the punishment. And even after the punishment is meted out to the students will again be sent for counselling. So this is the standard operating procedure for the disciplinary teachers to follow when meting out the caning process.
How do you respond to criticisms against caning? For example, that it leaves a negative psychological impact on students.
Okay, we must differentiate between caning and public caning. In the case of public caning, it is more likely to leave a negative impact on the students as they will be shamed publicly. All right? So the Ministry of Education forbids this method of punishment today. That means there is no more public caning in schools where the student is brought in front of the assembly or in front of a group of students or in the class and the teachers cane them. The SOP is that the punishment must be carried out in confined quarters in the presence of at least a witness or another teacher. So that means it is more for disciplining the students rather than shaming the students.
So we received a message from a listener earlier saying that, discipline should be left to the home, basically. In your opinion, do you think it should be the responsibility of teachers to discipline students, or is it really just the purview of the home?
All right. It is, to me, it should be the duties of both the parents and the teachers. Because we are in the process or we are in the business of education. Education is wholesome. It's not only about teaching the students mathematics, teaching the students to write, but also teaching the students to be a righteous person, teaching the students to be an asset to the society and not to be a nuisance, and not to allow the students to turn to white collar crime or be a big bully, you know, when he's driving, when after school and then he's driving on the road and stuff like that, because he has not been taught properly in schools. Finally, we would like to appeal to the public to support teachers. And it is a very thankless task, disciplining the children of other people. The teachers' cars get scratched, their houses get damaged, they get warnings from parents, and worst of all, they get dragged to court and they may lose their jobs for just trying to correct the recalcitrant students. Now, the only other option available, if the society refuses to allow the teachers to discipline their children, the teachers can always turn another way, look another direction. And at the end of the day, none will be the winner. It's only the dedicated teachers that are willing to discipline the students and face all these obstacles and all these hurdles from the public and even from the ministry. So we, in the union, we are appealing to the public to support us in this fight against disciplinary problems that the teachers are facing in the country. So we hope with this, the public will be more lenient or more supportive of teachers trying to correct the students' behavior.
Harry, thank you very much for speaking with us. That was Harry Tan, Secretary General of the NUTP. We're going to be speaking after this with Datin Noor Azimah Rahim, who's the chairman of the Parent Action Group for Education, or PAGE, and we'll be getting her take on the matter. But we've also been asking you for your thoughts. And you can WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. You can tweet at BFM Radio. You can also call 7733-2900. We've got this from Loke, who says, caning is necessary in class. If a teacher cannot discipline by caning, the teacher will then just ignore students who are supposed to be disciplined. Why would a teacher spend days to provide consultation to students when they don't have even enough time to do their work?
Because unfortunately, I mean, at the moment, while they do have resources that are tight, it's part of their job. They're supposed to nurture, they're supposed to do what's in the best interest of the kids that they are teaching.
I appreciate what you're saying. I wonder if that is reflective of the reality on the ground.
Yeah, but then if you meet out, or rather give these options to teachers, you know, who's to say that even with all these checks and balances, who's to say that there will not be cases of abuse of these kinds of punishments?
I understand. I mean, I think we're speaking really ultimately to the fact that there needs to be an overhaul. Teachers'
yes.
training need to be improved because there is, you know, what you're saying reflects a trust deficit, which exists, and I think is shared by quite a lot of people as well. This has come in from Hafiz saying, no public caning, please, agreed, but get the disruptive students to do community service, for example, picking rubbish in the school compound. And that is something that came through as well from Andre, who says, I think detention and community service would be good punishments instead of caning.
Yeah, and that's what I think I was trying to speak to as well, that there are alternatives to teaching kids because, you know, detention and community service, not only you get them to reflect on why their actions are wrong, and if anything, if you link it up with working together with NGOs, for example, there's a lot of lessons they can learn from there too. Our next message comes from Christopher, who says that it takes a village to raise a child. Discipline is a joint effort. Teachers need to inform parents the discipline action that's been taken.
Yeah, and right now I'm not sure that that connection is happening as often as it should, but it comes down to time as well, right? I think it
yeah.
comes down to time, but that's very crucial because if parents are unaware of what's happening in school, then that's not very helpful in terms of the kinds of conversations that they're able to have at home as well.
In fact, it might help if teachers understood what's happening at home too, so then perhaps the guidance and the consultations can take a more guided form.
Jay says, caning is perhaps, you know, more Eastern in culture, but it is something that's needed, although I believe there must be a control in place when doing it. Without the correct way to do it, bad kids or misguided kids will look at it as people being against them. Keep those messages coming. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet at BFM Radio, and call 7733-2900.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are talking about discipline in schools because a debate over caning, whether to cane or not, has kind of emerged. And we've got the NUTP on one side saying that teachers need to have an array of Well, an array of tools, basically. Everything that they have in their toolbox needs to be available to them in order to teach effectively. That includes discipline, that includes caning as a last resort. In the meantime, you've got the Parent Action Group for Education, or PAGE, saying that no, you know, it just shouldn't be a part of what happens at school. And we've been asking you for your thoughts. You can call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet at BFM Radio. And on Twitter, we have this from Johan Juhari.
Boys will be boys is lazy parenting. Boys are bullies because that's what they learn. If you're saying it's natural, what about the bullied boys or boys who don't bully? I'm horrified to hear this man normalizing the bully culture. There are other ways to correct children's behavior that has been proven by research. And then Johan also goes on to tweet, teachers need to cane children because they have no time to do their own job. Is caning to discipline children or to ease teachers? Maybe these teachers should lose their job, like the earlier guy said, if that's the case.
Yes, and The thing that makes this conversation complex for me is that I agree with that entirely in principle. Mm. But I'm sympathetic to the idea that it is just a fact right now that teachers do not have sufficient time and that teachers' resources aren't there. We can talk about teacher training, in another conversation. That is a huge issue as well. But I think faced with the realities on the ground, I'm not advocating for caning, but I think there needs to be perhaps then more avenues for discipline, more training in that sense, if we're doing away with caning.
And I think from what I got from Harry earlier was that he also isn't in support of caning necessarily.
No.
But more that, you know, he, as a representative of teachers, he understands and knows the actual situation on the ground working as one, and how sometimes with such limited resources, you know, and such limited access to so many things that you just kind of want to have anything at your disposal to be able to do your job at its best.
And then we've got this from Imran Fauzi. When I was in boarding school, we were really disciplined to the max, even to the extent that we felt it was slap first, ask questions later, that some teachers and wardens seem to use as a rule of thumb. However, after 3 and 5 years respectively, this proved to be very effective. We all excelled to the point of topping the list of boarding schools in the PMR and SPM respectively. Most of my friends and I still consider this as the best formative years of our lives, and we're still in touch with our teachers.
You know, to me, I think I struggle with these sort of anecdotal evidences that punishment is or might be good for the child, because I don't know, I've heard those stories myself, and a lot of my friends are quite well adjusted despite being caned or punished in some other form in schools. But I don't know, principally, and I guess from the research from psychologists that I've read, it's just caning just doesn't seem right to me.
And then we've got this from Mani, who says, boys will always be boys, disagreeing again with that attitude that came from Harry. Caning and physical punishment is a complex issue that I have to give a great deal of thought to. But one thing is certain, if it is to be done, it should only be done by the parents and never by a teacher.
Yeah, but then again, unfortunately, there are a lot of situations where the teaching and the parenthood are left to teachers in schools.
Well, that contrasts also with what Elin's is saying, I was caned by the principal in the privacy of her office with the necessary teachers involved in that situation. There was no feeling of humiliation, but remorse. I feel teachers alone shouldn't discipline, but it should be left to the disciplinary teacher or the principal who has that authority.
Right. And I think we have a voice message here that came from Heng.
Hi BFM, this is Hank here, founder of Hank Kids. And I'd like to share my thoughts that when it comes to punishment, right, the objective is actually to create awareness, learning, and to let the person know that, hey, every choices that you make, there's actually prices to pay. But it is not to create fear. So we need to ask ourselves, whatever form of punishment that we create, right, is it to create that awareness or to create fear? Because when it creates fear, the child or the person might actually, you know, will be reluctant to learn, take risks, or reluctant to embrace failure for the fear of it. So this is one thought that in terms of the context that we need to think about as well. So one of the ways to create a punishment is by creating discomfort. Maybe we don't allow them to watch TV. It's the prices that they need to know to have, that they need to pay for the choices. And once again, it is not about creating fear.
That would be, I think that is a new element that we haven't discussed yet. We talked about fear, we talked about humiliation, but discomfort is an interesting one. Now, we're also going to be speaking about the other side of this conversation with Datin Nor Azimah Rahim, chairman of the Parent Action Group for Education, or PAGE, who has voiced her opinions against the use of caning in schools. Datin Azimah, thanks for joining us. So what was your response to NUTP Secretary General Harry Tan's comments supporting the use of caning?
Well, Harry Tan did say that there are exceptions. And I think it's quite clear that as far as the Education Ministry is concerned, there are guidelines to caning, which is still ongoing in schools, but it's done privately. And there are lots of SOPs relating to that. Girls don't get caned, first of all. And there are things that are done so that the child is not physically hurt by the private caning that happens in school. So it's not that the kids are not caned, the boys are not caned, they are, but done privately.
So the Education Ministry doesn't support the use of caning in schools. Why do you think this is still being debated?
It's still being debated because students who are not fathers keep saying that they benefited from public caning, which is probably true. But I think we've come a long way from that. You know, now we are more learned and we realize that even children have rights and we should respect that. You know, if fathers think that their children need to be caned, why don't they do it themselves rather than push it to the school to do it? The fact that they want teachers to cane their children only shows that they've lost control of their children. The parents themselves, fathers themselves, have lost control of their children. So why are they pushing them out to teachers?
And is there any evidence that caning, you know, just isn't a necessary part when it comes to discipline?
I think research has been done. I can't quote who. I think it has proven that children who are publicly caned can result in psychological problems. For instance, if a teacher canes a student, the teacher cannot expect respect from that student because it has to be earned. So it doesn't mean that when you cane a student, the student will immediately conform, because this student may have lost respect or trust in this teacher. In fact, he may be fearful of teachers in general. So, and also, you know, you hear of dads who say, you know, I was caned when I was a child, look how fine I am now. But try going to say, try to find some men who are not proud to say this, and see where they have gotten, you know, because I think there are also dads who have been caned when they were a student but have not necessarily become successful, but they are keeping quiet about it. You know, when you have been caned and you keep quiet about it, it is obvious that you did not benefit from that caning.
And in your opinion, where do you think the responsibility of disciplining children should fall? Should this be done at schools?
I think it's the responsibility of the parent. I mean, the reason why a child needs to be caned in school is because usually there's something not quite right at home. You know, why does a child bully? Maybe because, why does a child bully other students in school? Maybe because he's been bullied at home. Why does a child steal from his friends at school? Maybe because his parents don't give him pocket money. You know, so I think these children who are seen to be ill-disciplined, there's a reason for them doing these things. You know, you do not just not do anything for the sake of just being naughty. You know, there's always a reason behind it. And each child is unique. And, you know, the teacher may need to speak to the child and get to the bottom of the problem. And usually the problem starts at home. And parents are denying it.
Datin Azima, thank you for sharing that with us. That was Datin Noor Azima Rahim, chairman of PAGE, the Parent Action Group for Education. We will be getting to your messages and calls after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony, BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we are talking about where to draw the line when it comes to discipline in schools. Is caning still necessary? And to make it very clear, we are not talking about public caning, but private caning, you know, caning as a last resort. Is that a necessary or, you know, important form of discipline? What other forms of discipline would you be comfortable seeing? You can call us and let us know, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. You can tweet at BFM Radio. For what it's worth, Jotham says, both my parents are teachers, so is my girlfriend. Trust me when I say this, caning and for any form of physical punishment is needed to build up students to be overall decent human beings. Without it, entitlement would go rampant.
I think that can easily be solved by talking to the students as to why they feel certain ways. I think there's a lot of parts of the world that are not explained, or a lot of parts of why we feel stuff, they're not explained properly to students for them to be able to properly process their emotions.
Well, Ellen is making the point that intention is key when it comes to punishment. So perhaps teachers can be trained to identify the kinds of punishment that would be most effective and not mentally damaging. So perhaps it's going to be lessons in psychology and human behavior, which I think speaks to what you were saying.
Yes.
And we've also got a caller on the line. Good evening, Kumar. What are your thoughts?
Good evening, BFM. My thoughts are I'm totally against this caning for the students, and I'm totally against of the notion of giving all avenues to the teachers to discipline the children. Does this mean allowing them to, for example, throw the feather duster or the blackboard duster at the children, kicking out children, slapping children violently? Because I sit in the Parent Teachers Association in one of the schools, and I've been called in various times to handle this kind of abusive cases by the teachers. And like what you said many times over the radio, teachers maybe have less time right now. And what they are doing is they are not like those days, they are venting out their frustrations on these poor little kids, especially those just coming in like standard one, standard two, standard three. They are being violently being hit in the pretext of disciplining them, but it's more of ordering abuse. So I do not agree about allowing the teachers to cane them. If there are serious disciplinary issues, they must be referred to the discipline teacher or the headmaster or the Guru Besar, and they will then maybe be allowed to mildly cane or mildly reprimand the students. Because these Guru Besars and Guru Discipline, they are higher rank officials. They sit on a position of accountability. They know the consequences if they go overboard. But not the normal teachers, because many of them are bordering abuse in the school right now.
Kumar, I have a question for you. You know, I think, and this is something that I guess came up in our discussions throughout the day, is if, let's say, there is a case of maybe some kids being quite disruptive in class, they are maybe bullying another kid at the moment, and you have to wait until, you know, to all those other steps to have them maybe put in detention or community center services, what would you say the teacher should be able to do in that moment of trying to get control back of the classroom?
No, this teaching is a passionate job. You must have people who are passionate about this job to do the job of teaching. So if they have to go through a certain process, like, say, counseling, detention, that is part and parcel of the education system. If teachers are complaining, I want to bypass all this and just smack them away, then they are not passionate about the job. So we must make sure those who are passionate about teaching be in the line of teaching, you know. So there are many, many good exemplary teachers who have groomed people and been a role model without having to use the cane. And there are good Guru Besars as well who have used the cane, but in a very moderate way, without humiliating or abusing students. So I strongly hope that the groups like PAGE, you know, they must be very vocal in going against this, because I'm giving you live example. I've been in the Parents Teachers Association, and I've personally been witnessing this sort of abuses.
Yep, Kumar, thank you so much for that. I mean, I think that that on-the-ground experience is something that's very important, and it's disheartening to hear it happening to such young kids.
Yeah, but, you know, again, Harry Tan also has on-the-ground experience, not in support of Kaney, but I get where he's coming from.
And we've got this tweet here from Aggie in Malaya. Back in the 80s and 90s, our education system practiced all sorts of reinforcements to educate school kids, and it worked just fine. Why? Because it was fully supported by parents. It was common that parents would double it if they found out. And it was conducted in an escalating manner, mater demerit, corporal, corporal punishment, public caning, gantung sekolah, finally buang sekolah, you know, is previously conducted in many boarding schools. I'm all for caning. Nowadays, parents are spoiling their kids.
You know, maybe it then might lead to a conversation about whether we need to change in a change in how we parent our kids as well. Because if punishment is something, rather physical punishment is something that parents resort to, that's a separate conversation altogether about how we should be teaching our kids.
So Gary is agreeing with the idea that parents are pampering their kids, which is something else that's actually coming through quite a number of the messages. For what it's worth, I think that there are a lot of things that we consider wrong now that we didn't used to consider as, you know, problematic back in the day. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, to change how we approach the situation, not necessarily a bad thing. I think where my concerns rest are when we adapt, are we actually adapting to the realities of the situation on the ground? You know, so yes, things have changed. Just because we got caned and we turned out fine is not necessarily a good enough reason to say, hey, it works, especially if research supports other forms. But I don't know. I don't know what's required. If Harry is saying that, you know, it's an important aspect for teachers, then I don't know whether I'm in the right position to say otherwise.
But of course, I would like to think that perhaps there are also other sorts of teachers out there that might disagree with Harry's point of view.
Yes, I think that they probably are out there, and they are sending us messages, in fact. Patrick says, I don't remember any of my schoolmates having disciplinary problems turning good due to the caning punishment. In fact, they adapted skills to cover up wrongdoings. They became worse. Most of them view such punishment as unjust and unfair treatment.
Yeah, and I think that's also another piece of anecdotal evidence or stories that I'm also getting trouble wrapping my heads around with, because you have both sides, right? Both one side saying, well, I was punished, I was fine. The other one said, well, I was punished, but I learned how to be smarter about what I was doing wrong.
So Alistair and Vaisnavi are both raising the issue that it's important to discipline children, but it is also important to use conversations or punishments that push children to reflect on their choices. So, for example, community service is a form of punishment so that they have the opportunity to think about what it is that's going on, why it is that they are there. And Vaisnavi also says, also give teachers training on being sensitive to children's emotional growth and academic growth using appropriate disciplinary methods.
No, I think the focus here has been very much on young kids who are getting caned, right? But I think at the other end also, we haven't really quite discussed caning of teenage children, because that might alter what we are talking about a little bit more. So our next message comes from Ibrahim, who says that as a parent, I support private student caning. If parents don't allow caning and don't want teachers to teach their kids themselves. Caning only puts the kids in line and for them to understand boundaries. Without it, kids will become spoiled and soft, as what we're seeing in Western countries. Not only soft, the kids have become kurang ajar.
And I suppose this next message agrees with that to a degree. Kishan saying, on discipline, parents nowadays keep deluding themselves that they are their child's best friend. Wrong. You're the parent. Be a good parent and stop passing the buck on to the teachers.
It can be a relationship of both, or rather a situational one where you are the best friend in, say, the more touchy emotional subjects about, say, well, maybe sex education and all that. But then on being a parent, then that's perhaps another, you have to adapt. Parenting styles, you have to adapt for this situation.
Ching Ho says, change the Wi-Fi password or lock their smartphones. That is akin to caning nowadays in 2019. You can keep those messages coming. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. And right now we've got a caller. Good evening, Osman. What are your thoughts?
Good evening, BFM.
Yes, hi.
Actually, I admire you guys, you know, like, because you always kill the time and the traffic jam of busy KL.
Thank you for listening. And did you have a thought when it comes to the issue of punishment?
Yeah, it's really necessary, actually, because boys are boys. You always say that, you know, like, or you mentioned that during this episode. And one more thing, you know, like, I came from Saudi Arabia, so I came from different perspective, but almost the same. Last time I was canned, it was 2007. Mm-hmm. I was in my ninth grade. After that, you know, like, it's the rules started to change, you know, like, and the ministry started to tighten up about the issue, so no canning, no punishment. The teacher lost their respect, you know, like, in the classroom, and everything, every teacher is, you know, like, complaining about this issue. If they cannot punish the kid, he will not respect them, you know, like, in any cost.
What lessons do you think you took away from being caned?
Sorry, would you repeat yourself?
Yeah, what kind of lessons did you take away from being caned? Because as you said, the last time you were caned was in 2007.
Yeah, I was in my ninth grade. To be a little more respectful of the class, of the, my classroom, classmates, because I was a noisy boy, you know. I was a little bit noisy boy, so, you know, like, I was, you know, like, I always was afraid of the canning, you know, like, and of the hurt, and still, you know, like, I wasn't so good. So, like, imagine if, you know, like, there were no canning at my time, I would be much, much worse than what I was, actually.
Osman, thank you so much for taking the time to call. We've also, it's quite a contentious issue. We're getting quite a number of messages on landing on really both sides of it. Just this from Patricia before the news, who says, caning is a form of consequence for repeated unapologetic offences. It's unrealistic to always overcome negative actions with positive reinforcement. This has contributed to the current social situation where both parents and teachers are pushing responsibility and or blaming each other on this issue of disciplinary actions. The result is a generation that is ambivalent to the concept of discipline and action and consequences and entitled to be treated kindly regardless of their actions. The discussion on removing caning is another example of the knee-jerk reaction Malaysians have to fears of abuse by banning or removing the least popular option. There are other issues to solve when there's abuse of caning. The problem is not caning, it is how and when it's used. Keep weighing in. We will get to your messages after the news. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. And tweet us at BFM Radio. All this coming your way on the Evening Edition. It's 7:05 in the evening, and before we continue our look at punishment in schools, just a quick couple of messages that came through about International Mother Language Day, because we were talking about that earlier. It is today, the 21st of February, that is that we're observing it for. And we've been talking about whether or not you have a good relationship with your mother tongue. Kenneth says, proud Hakka here, and listening to this, I'm so glad that there are a surprisingly large amount of Hakka people sending message to you. Hello, Kenneth. Hello, Hakka person. I used to dislike this language as I perceived it as rude when my relatives speak among each other. But as I grew up, my perception changed. And I think that it's actually funny, especially the foul language bits. Fast forward to 2019, I'm embracing my Hakka-ness to all of my friends, even if they don't really know how to speak it, because I'm trying hard to train my mother tongue. But I can't find any person that can speak and practice with me. But Hakka, to my surprise, it's actually very easy to learn if you can speak Cantonese or Mandarin well, because I think some of the words are quite similar, and that's how I learned Hakka.
That's some lessons I can take away from, because, you know, I'm right now struggling with Mandarin. Perhaps once I'm done with that, that's something else I can pick up.
Sivan says, my mum's theory was that we learned Tamil in our early years at home and then we'll pick up the universally used language English when we went to school. And that's worked very well. My siblings and I speak Tamil and English well and Malay. My mother managed to pick up Malay as well. And then my kids learned Tamil while in Singapore in school, and then that pleased my mother to no end.
And I think that didn't work out for me so well, because I think while I was speaking Mandarin at home and speaking English in schools, English kind of took you know, went rocket all speeds forward, right? But then with my Mandarin, it just kind of stopped.
Captain Arriva is also weighing in about Tamil, saying, I'm proud to be speaking my mother tongue, which is the oldest language in the world. That is Tamil. I speak Tamil with most of my friends and families, and I make it an important habit by talking to my young kids in Tamil, motivating them so they can bring forward the language. It's not easy, but it's doable if we are persistent. He also goes on to say, I totally agree with Harry Tan because the reality on the ground needs proper discipline, especially for kids who might be notorious. And that speaks, of course, to the other story that we were talking about, which is discipline in schools. Where is that line? What are you comfortable with? I mean, we were focused on caning, but it's also just in general, there are issues of some other forms of punishment being not physically painful, but perhaps more humiliating, standing on tables, for example. So we're just curious, where is that line? What are you comfortable with? You can weigh in at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, call 7733-2900. And I believe we've got Adam on the line. Adam, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, hello. Hello, BFM.
Hi.
All right. So a little bit background about myself. I'm an HR manager at my company. I'm focusing on talent management. And both of my parents are teachers. And I happen to be the head prefect during my both primary and high school. So this topic really, really speaks out to me a lot. So just like to share, give some input on this discussion on the basis that the fundamentals and building a character or educating a person, it goes back to the concept of reward and punishment. Or merit, demerit. For example, at workplace, right? When our employees do good, we will give, there's bonuses, there's special rewards, and if there's bad performances, there will be certain consequences. So similarly, in a school setting, this should also be applied. So I am definitely not against punishment or caning in school. I think that it is very much necessary as a form of disciplining of students. But I think in our education system, as compared to during my time in Finland and also back in the States, we are not rewarding or praising our children enough for the good things that they do. So I think this is another angle that we and the education system should really incorporate, meaning that good actions are giving rewards and are being exemplified as a way, as opposed to focusing on what should we do when students get out of line. So I think that's a shift that we should move into with the new generation. Also, I'd like to share some input on the idea of public punishment. I personally saw it as a very quite peculiar idea, but I'm a Muslim convert. So one of the things that I did in my journey of understanding this religion better was in the legislation, in the punishment, the Sharia law, most of the punishment are actually encouraged to be done publicly, but not on the idea of humiliating, but on the idea of social education. Meaning, for example, during the Osmania times, whenever, for example, there's one case of theft, when the punishment is done publicly, the occurrence of the next such case of the theft is so long to the fact that everyone saw what happened and it made everyone think more than twice before they actually committed the same crime or sin. So the idea of public punishment is actually more on not only educating that person who is being punished, but giving the same effect to all people around in this context in schools. So I'm not saying that it should be done every time, but there are times that necessarily you will have a bigger amplitude of the education when it is done on a public setting. So those are some of my thoughts on the on how we should educate our students nowadays.
Adam, thank you very much for taking the time to call. I think those are a number of really, really interesting perspectives. But the same could be said of what Dr. Jag has sent through, who says, I'm totally appalled by this caning issue. I totally disagree that the Ministry of Education should be allowed to be judge, jury and executioner when it comes to physical punishment. Where is medical evidence that caning a child helps to make them better? Have they consulted pediatricians and child psychiatrists about these issues? These practices have to be validated and they absolutely should not be allowed to carry on without scientific validation. It's also a medical liability when, you know, can the teachers guarantee that they're not causing any long-term psychological harm? I don't think so. So please, Ministry of Health, wisen up. We're a scientific community and they should be in the forefront of this development and not heading backwards.
And I think that's interesting also in the sense that, you know, yeah, for this sort of thing to be effective, I guess we do need scientific backing because, you know, again, I'm having my own troubles wrapping my head around the anecdotal evidences. Whereas on the science end of it, psychologists, psychiatrists, researchers, recommend not hitting or caning or any sort of corporal punishment for your child.
Yes, that's been very clear. A number of healthcare professionals are very, very firmly, through the messages that they've been sending to the show, very, very firmly in, no, you know, it's just never acceptable. It's never a good idea. We've got a caller on the line now. Patrick, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening. Okay, my name is Patrick. Mm-hmm. Okay, my father was a school teacher. So I used to go into the same school where he was teaching. So we have been disciplined on both at home and at school. And I don't see anything wrong because what the message we are trying to send out to children now is, oh, it's not caning, it's not allowed, this is not allowed, that is not. This is, we are trying to pamper the children because when they go out in the society for things they are doing wrong, they will be punished.
But do you think that perhaps, you know, yes, there needs to be a lesson in terms of action and consequence and punishment, but does it have to take the form of caning, for example? Or, you know, do you think other forms might be just as effective?
I mean, there are multiple choices out there. Caning is one of them. It's not necessary. Caning doesn't mean you abuse a child.
Mm.
To me, I mean, you don't overdo it like you smack the kid for a minor mistake, you say. But I mean, it can be used as a form of punishment as long as it's done properly. I mean, drugs is to help you improve your health. But if you overdose it, then it's abuse of drugs, which you can get addicted to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So caning is something like that. I mean, as long as it's done properly based on the mistake the child has done, I don't see any harm to it.
Patrick, thank you so much for calling. We've also got this message that's come through from Tai.
Yep, maybe we should cane the parents for the wrongdoing of
still
the child.
Still in the arena of caning.
So that way parents will be more inclined to discipline their children at home since it's their responsibility in the first place. I would love to see this be implemented instead, which I believe will yield better results. And I'm on the camp of caning no one.
Yes, I know. We also have this who I think kind of is in your camp as well, saying Asian countries tend to use harsh punishments on their children more often. Asian countries also have high rates of juvenile suicides.
That's a hard number, a hard fact to deal with also.
And then this from Daniel saying, you know, in primary school, we knew teachers were not allowed to cane us. Surprise, it gave us, you know, it gave us the knowledge that we have power over the teachers. In the end, some teachers just gave up and the whole class was in chaos. And that really, to me, is more of an issue of teacher training. I mean, we're talking about that, but that's so clearly a big problem as well. Because, yes, you can't cane, but ideally, while we're talking about all the things that are available to teachers, caning shouldn't be the only thing. I mean, just because you can't cane doesn't mean you can't control the class, hopefully.
Yeah, and I guess then, does that mean that perhaps in that situation that the teachers fail to find other means of trying to control the classroom and trying to discipline children?
And just very quickly, we're going to kind of go through the last few messages that we've been receiving before we move on to the next story. And we've got this that's come through from Nur Hayati.
Yep, so discipline in primary schools caning at children, not for primary, secondary maybe. Discipline issues for primary school children or problematic children in schools usually is caused by underlying issues. Caning will only create fear and not solve the problem. You can't expect a 7 or 8 year old to sort out the problem themselves. As for secondary school students, they should be told up front the consequences for the things that they do, discipline problems that they cause specifically. Like if you do A, B or C, the punishment is X, Y or Z, which may include caning. They are old and matured enough to make decisions and face the consequences. Again, when punished, they need to know and be fully aware why they are being punished, as well as understand that it is the result of their own choice.
There we go again with that very, very important lesson about action and consequence, right? And then Laif Fizal is saying, my ex-schoolmates would not appreciate me saying this, but we all really deserve caning for the nonsense we got up to. Unfortunately, we weren't. What a bunch of obnoxious, entitled kids we were. Private education, yay.
So our next message comes from Darwin, who says that public caning is not the way. We need to reach out to the young ones to understand their wrongdoings through counselling and not teach them violence to solve problems. Give them love, not hate. I guess self-reflection through counselling will help.
And finally, this from Penangite, from Denise, trust your teachers to exercise their discretion, caning included. No teacher would cane unnecessarily. It is always a last resort. I know I was a teacher. If caning cannot be permitted, perhaps place teachers' assistants in classes to help to cope. It will be costly, but we do need a solution. To the caller who alleged abuse, please file a report. And that came through earlier from, I think, one of our callers, Kumar, who sits on the board, who sits on PTAs. Mm. Thank you very much for the messages. You can keep them coming and we will get to them much later in the show. But for now, we are going to be moving on to the rumours surrounding the possible no confidence vote against Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
The rest of our messages have a lot to do with issues of discipline, including this from Mohan.
If the school doesn't discipline your child, then society will. If your child isn't caned in schools, they will become caned in prison.
Which is something that I think a listener named Raymond said earlier as well. So I think the idea here is better to discipline earlier than having to deal with the repercussions later. And I think that while there is something to that, I also think it's a remarkably harsh view of life because it makes an assumption, I suppose, that a failure to impose any sort of discipline or the firmest sort of discipline at a young age will then result in like the worst possible outcome at the end. But I don't think it's that linear.
I strictly believe that it never has to be that way. You don't have to cane your child. And drawing this argument to another place entirely, that we shouldn't even be caning prisoners, right? Because, you know, crimes happen for different reasons. Misbehavior happens for different reasons.
Shirley, meanwhile, says, publish a guideline on offenses that warrant caning. My standard one kid got caned for answering questions wrongly. Children these days have access to information. They're in on this debate we're having, and we all know which side they are taking. When caning was common and quite universal in our day, we accepted it. When it's debatable and based on teachers' individual tolerance and temperament, often unfairly, why should the kids be okay with it? 2 months in school and my kids' love for learning had waned considerably.
I have the very same experience because I've had chalk thrown at me and also, I guess, being caned for just having poor grades, unfortunately, which I didn't understand why, because it was really up to which teacher decided to do that. And it was at sometimes felt like the mood of the teacher.
Shirley, I'm really sorry that your child had to go through that. And I would imagine that it is obvious, right, that would result in a waning of your enthusiasm for school if you know that you might get punished for just very little reason at all. I think earlier we heard from a listener named Denise who said that if you are hearing of situations where caning is being abused, make a complaint.
Yeah.
So perhaps that's an avenue to pursue. And we've received this as well from Raj.
Different children react differently to caning and corporal punishment. I used to be caned and belted. I'm 57 today and I still have confidence problems.
And that's the problem, isn't it, with this notion of I was caned and I turned out fine.
Yeah.
I'm very leery of that argument because so many people react differently and you can't predict what's going to happen, which is why I guess we're being asked to trust that teachers will be using their discretion. But that gap to trust, I think, is a little bit distant.
Yeah, and I think the constant thing that has been coming up, rather, is the fact that teachers are short on resources, short of time, and are overloaded with so much work that sometimes that messes with their ability to make that right choice.
Well, on that note, we received this early from Tiffany who says, if a teacher has to cane a student for discipline, then he or she is failing in his or her job. Effective teachers don't need to cane students. Let's just face it, we need better teachers and teachers need to be trained better. I strongly disagree with Harry's views. Harry, of course, being Harry Tan of the NUTP, whom we spoke to earlier. And then this from Ilanko saying, making reference to China's social credit system, with the way things are going, reductions in rating will be the new sort of punishment. Mark my words, 5 years from, 5 years from now, this will be reality. Similar to that episode from Black Mirror, no more caning.
Just a scary old future. So our next message comes from Kevin, who says that I've never been caned, punished. Punishment for me would be a personal discussion with a mentor. That would always leave me feeling matured. As a young kid, I would be petrified if I was called to the principal's office. I guess when you're that young, you're already so sensitive. When you know you're in trouble, it's what you don't know that scares you. You get paranoid and anxious. If I knew I was getting caned, it would spoil the surprise. And personally, I would want some revenge against whoever inflicts pain on me. I can say I was probably spoiled as a child, but I'm also matured successfully. peaceful and noble now. I don't agree with caning. That's assault. You can't discipline human nature. Just keep them busy and engaged. People act out in boredom. Going on to say that there's also a notion that public schools that cane are chaotic environments with plenty of fighting and bullying. Most of your callers who agree with caning, have they taught at private schools? I was always told how lucky we were from our teachers that I was at a private school and escaped all that violence and discrimination.
I think my takeaway from that message, I suppose, is that it speaks to what a lot of other listeners are saying with regard to different people react differently. So I'm with you, Kevin. I think I used to be very paranoid and anxious when I knew that perhaps I was going to be disciplined. And so I was necessarily quite an obedient child from that because I was so afraid of any form of punishment, never mind caning. You know, psychological threat would do it for me. But I know among my group of friends, among my classmates, that there are some people for whom that would not have worked, that would not have made a single dent or difference. So it's hard to say that there should be a gold standard. And we've also have this from Emma saying punishment should be in place for more severe offences for much older kids, but definitely not those in standard one or two who get whacked because of bad handwriting. And that is so true. Mm-hmm. We should not stereotype and generalise an action. A balancing act is more important with proper rules and SOPs. I feel teachers might have low EQs to manage the sort of situations, hence different counselling for teachers is essential. A guitar string that is tuned too tightly will snap. When it's too loose, you can't get a nice melody.
And that's a very nice analogy.
And we've also had this come in from Jeff.
I was caned a lot as a child by teachers for not doing my homework in primary school, sometimes even verbal abuse. But instead of learning, it creates fear and anxiety as I never realized the importance of it. And nobody bothered to ask if I was even afraid to tell my parents. But later on, I understood the importance because one teacher believed in me and tried to understand me. But it was only in secondary school it changed my concept of learning. Physical punishment is not the way.
Meanwhile, John says, I'm all for scientific and empirical evidence-based research. But alas, in the field of social science, these studies on the effects of caning on students are mostly Western and might not be truly representative of our culture. My parents were teachers and they'll be the first to tell you that all this nonsense about reason out with them and truly understand what's the root cause, it does not work with the under-allocation of resources in the schools. I've been a substitute teacher and all the armchair social scientists might need a few on-the-ground experiences before commenting about the efficacy of the threat of caning. In order to even get a classroom primed for teaching, you're dealing with 10% of the class that has totally no regard for what you're going to say, nor an ounce of respect for themselves or their future. So you'd go, oh, talk to them. Then what happens to my 36 other students who want or need what I'm teaching? Naysayers might say you could engage them after school or the dreaded, if you are a dedicated teacher, you can insert some XYZ suggestion which shows a lack of understanding of workload. But don't get me wrong, moving away from caning might work in a specific environment, low teacher-student ratio, full-day schools, close cooperation by parents, teachers, and cultures. I look forward to that day.
And it comes to an overall call, not only from us, but also, I guess, to the teacher, Chakravarti, who brought up that point, right, that at the moment, teachers and schools do lack a huge amount of resources, and that's why they want to have as many options as they can to do their job.
Very broadly speaking, I would say that of the messages that have come through, and there have been many, a lot of the people who have teachers in their families or who are teachers themselves seem to be in support of the need for punishment, seem to be in support of what Harry is saying. And then with parents, it seems to be split 50-50. But for people who are working in the healthcare industry, especially when it comes to mental health, there is a very strong push against it. So we seem to be at a point where it's, like another listener said, a balancing act, and I don't think it's one that we've mastered just yet. And in closing, we've got this from Cameronism.
Caning cannot, making public humiliation cannot. So how do you discipline the kid? Schools do have counselling unit nowadays. I don't trust the teacher to be able to handle the kid's tantrum now, given the ratio of teacher to children today.
And that is why we have that point, I suppose, about, yeah, you know, the realities on the ground, that ratio of students. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.